Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in, What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 225. Ton to do today, fun show, great night in the NBA last night. For the first time in a while, producer Daniel didn't have any, you know, quippy NBA comments for me because his Nuggets got blasted by the Suns. By the way, that kind of annoyed me. I would have liked the Nuggets to actually show up last night, beat the Suns, help the Lakers move out of that 9 spot. We'll get to all of that. Draymond Green couldn't barely be bothered to show up for work. All of that. Demonze here wearing new shades. I liked the ones last time more. I'm going to send you a pair of nice shades. Now, you're going to lose them, which is unfortunate, but I'm going to send them to you anyway. And I don't say that, Demonze, as an indictment on you. It's just because sunglasses are like the number one thing people lose, which is why people tend not to want to spend a lot of money on them. But I'll send you some nice shades. I like the look. I just think the white frames aren't as good as the ones last week. How are you?
And I'm pretty good. I think I'll be able to hold on to them, though. Well, we can test that out.
If I send you some nice ones, you'll hold on to them? Okay. Yeah. All right, good. So I'll send you some nice ones, or I'll just give them to you in person when I see you in a couple weeks. All right, here's what missed the cut for today's show. Jaden Daniels' elbow, everyone's freaking out because everyone uses the internet to see fake memes and stupid prank videos, and no one could take 3 seconds to Google a bursa sack. Like, guys, yes, the elbow looks funny. No, there's nothing wrong with him. It's just fluid at the bottom of his arm. It's all it is. You know how I figured that out? I Googled it. Let me see which one I went to yesterday.
OrthoInfo.com.
It did look Photoshopped, but then you're just like, hey, why would someone have that on the bottom of their arm? And the answer is it's a bursa sack. It happens to athletes. I am fortunate that I'm going to be one of the, you know, in 30 years, I'm going to be one of the only people left that remembers what the internet was created for, to find actual accurate knowledge and information rather than nonsense and conspiracy theories. Jim Harbaugh says he's living in an RV, and classic category one by me, instantly correct. The NCAA president heard our brilliant deposition on gambling on Tuesday and was like, yeah, player props, we maybe need to take another look at those. So all of that missed the cut. Demonze, we're starting last night. I was locked into the NBA last night from about 7:30 Eastern until almost 1 in the morning. The league pass was popping last night, but I started at 7:30, which means I started about 10 minutes after the early games tipped, which means I missed the entirety of Draymond Green's performance yesterday. Explain to the audience. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, so in a must-game win for the Warriors, Draymond Green got ejected less than 5 minutes into the game. Steph Curry seemed to be visibly distraught about this, but thanks to his late-game heroics, the Warriors still got the win. All right, so what's the story here with Draymond? Or not what's the story here, but yeah, what's the story here?
Yeah, what's the story with Draymond? I mean, this was a game the Warriors had to have, right? Playing a Magic team that makes everyone experience 48 minutes of hell on the offensive end because of how great they are defensively. A Magic team that has been better than Golden State. And Steph, late game heroics is the right way to put it, because he started 4-for-16, but then made two huge plays late. They end up getting the win. Despite Draymond's nonsense. And we are now to a place where the Warriors don't defend him. The Warriors aren't like, oh, it's unfair. And if you didn't watch what happened last night, we're 3 minutes into a game. A foul is called on someone else. And Draymond freaks out, gets a technical, and then does the old Draymond. So Draymond has now crossed the Rubicon in this regard. Not that long ago, Draymond getting an early technical was kind of the best thing that could happen to the Warriors, because refs were afraid to throw him out. He then could act like a total unhinged lunatic, intimidate the refs, scream at them, do all these things without risk of getting another technical because they didn't want to throw him out. I think around the time, I don't know if it was the elbow to Nurkic or the choke of Gobert or what, when it was, but sometime this year that has changed to where now folks are no longer afraid to throw Draymond out. And he gets the first technical. The Warriors call timeout. The entire team is trying to get Draymond to stop. The referee is walking away. Draymond won't stop. And then it could have been over. And he calls him the P word, the A word, and then either the B word or the N word. I'm not sure which, but in quick succession. Bleep, bleep, bleep. And the ref throws him out, and Draymond didn't even react. It's like he knew it. Okay, yeah, I'm getting thrown out here. 3 minutes into a must-win game. And Steph, the reason this is such a story is Steph appeared to be brought to tears. And that is, I mean, Kerr like consoled him, put his hand on his back. And that is multi-layered. I think part of it is, God, dog it, we need this game. And now we're without our second most important player. But I don't think that's enough to bring Steph to tears. I think that it was bigger picture that Steph is realizing,
my guy this needs help.
Well, that's part of it. Here's another part of it. That's the, like, empathetic piece of it. And I don't say this with any judgment, this quote selfish, not in a negative way, piece of it is, this is just what the rest of my career is going to be like. Clay, my guy, is either going to be here as a far lesser version of himself, or he's going to be gone. Draymond, my other guy, has lost the thread entirely and has less control over his emotions than any player in modern NBA history. And this is how my career is going to go. I'm 36 years old. I am, whether Steph will admit this or not, he knows he is starting for the first time to show some real signs of aging. He's still a very good player. He is still a top 10 player, but he's far closer to 10 than number one. He no longer can, just by the power of his own gravity and play, carry a team to contention. Might not be able to even carry the team to the postseason. I mean, Steph's missed less than a half a dozen games, and the Warriors are one game up on the 11 seed Rockets. And he's looking at it and saying, this is what the rest of my career is going to be. Mediocre teams, young players that aren't yet ready to win, my wingman Clay as a compromised version of himself through.
Clay's been kind of heating up lately, right? Has he not?
No, Clay's played better lately, and he was coming off the bench. Now he's not, but he is. It is to me in stone now that Clay Thompson will never be a great player again. That you know what I mean? Clay Thompson was a great player, yeah. And the injuries made him. Now he vacillates between a average player to pretty good, but he's never like he might have a great night. But so my wingman is not the same guy, and my other wingman is actively working against us. And so this is Steph's just staring at his basketball mortality with no reinforcements. And Steph now is going to, it is a weird spot, DeMonze, but Steph is now going to be forced to make a decision. And that decision, he could be forced, like, it comes starting this offseason. And that is, what is, and I, by the way, I want to say this on the front end. I would not judge him at all for either decision here. He has obviously more than earned the right to do whatever he wants. He is, as Steve Kerr put it, he has carried the weight of the franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. But he now, thanks to some Warriors missed draft picks, thanks to Klay's injuries, and thanks to Draymond's total unpredictability, volatility, and regression as a player, Steph staying with the Warriors and competing for anything close to a championship or deep playoff run, those two things are mutually exclusive. Say that is, it is no different than if I were to say, I want to retire in my hometown of Kansas City and live on the ocean. Gotta choose. Impossible to do both. And so Steph Curry now, thanks to a lot of factors, but I would argue the biggest of which is Draymond's total inability to control his emotions and the Warriors' decision to reward him with a $100 million extension.
Right.
Steph now has to choose. Go ahead.
Like I get he's not balling out over there in Washington, but do you think the Warriors still made the right move keeping Draymond Green and getting rid of Jordan Poole? Because I think that Jordan Poole with the Warriors, there was something there before, and I think it was because he was with the Warriors. I think that could have been unlocked, and he probably would.
I don't think Jordan Poole would be a difference maker for this Warriors team. But it's the you could have made the decision to do a hard reboot on everything. You could have made the decision to try to reboot on the fly around Steph, and they made another decision. And so now Steph Curry has to choose what is most important to me. Retiring a Warrior or competing for championships. And, or even forget, even if it's like, all right, I've got four rings. I've been to six finals. I've won two MVPs. I got my finals MVP. I don't have to compete for a championship. It'd be one thing if like, okay, the Warriors were capped out at the second round of the playoff. They are going to fight for their lives to make the play in. They are not one of the 15 best teams in a 30-team league. And a lot of people have to wear that, but everyone else, here's, I guess, my last piece of it. Everyone else is at least doing their best. The front office made some mistakes, but they're doing their best. Klay Thompson wants to be great again more than anything in the world. His body won't allow him. but he's doing his best. Draymond Green has the easiest job of everybody. Just don't be an asshole. And he can't do it. And so it's
and it's crazy.
He has
like
put his guy that, Steph Curry in a tough spot.
Seeing that Draymond reaction from Steph Curry, I feel like should hit a switch. Like I think if
you
something
know how
else
I know
happened,
it didn't?
Go ahead.
You know how I know it didn't? Did you see after the game what happened? So Steph hits the three and then does a very emphatic night-night that it felt weird that he was doing it as long as he did it and as angrily as he did to Orlando. I understand Orlando's good this year, but it's like, give me a, like, Steph doesn't right. typically do that in a regular season game against the Magic, right? Like, the night-night right. celebration is kind of reserved for bigger moments, right? He did that, then he went over to the bench and angrily kicked his chair. In the tunnel, Draymond is waiting for him, smiling, doing the night-night. Like, we're good, buddy, good job. That is not disposition of someone that realizes the gravity of their actions.
Yeah.
So, I feel for Steph. I do know that the two iconic guys of this era are obviously the two most iconic, LeBron and Steph. I'll tell you this much right now. LeBron wouldn't be waiting around. Now, and again, that's not a value judgment, but LeBron would not be like, okay, yeah, so I just can't compete for titles for the next 2 years. So be right. it. Like,
doesn't LeBron want to have Draymond Green on his team?
Well, that's very interesting. They're very close friends. Don't put this part on social media if people are watching and they can do it. Like, I haven't talked about this publicly at all. LeBron, to his credit, and I'm probably hurting it here, attempted, the producers don't even know this. You're the only one that knows this. LeBron, to his credit, attempted to personally reconcile Draymond and my relationship. Trying to kind of bring people together. And he loves Draymond. And yeah. a lot of folks love Draymond Green, the person. But Draymond on the court, his lack of impulse control is historic. And
this story.
There is a... I understand that the Warriors don't become the Warriors without Draymond Green. There's no question about that. He is an all-time legendary player. But a lot of people believe they would have won the championship in 2016 if he doesn't hit LeBron in the groin and get suspended. I don't believe that. A lot of people do. I think everyone agrees their title defense would have gone differently had he not punched Jordan Poole right before the season started. And everyone must acknowledge this year would have gone differently if he wasn't suspended for a quarter of the season due to on-court violent acts. That after which, when he said, I'm changed, I'm this, I'm that, he now, last night's getting thrown out of a game 3 minutes in. All right, next.
But quick, where do you put Draymond Green up against Ron Artest? Like, as far as crazy hypeness, I'm not saying Metal World Peace because he was Ron Artest when those things were going on.
So, Ron was. It's an interesting question. Ron to me was more dangerous. The right, stuff okay, Ron fair. Did could really, really hurt people. And I know Draymond's little spinning back fist into Nurkic could have really hurt him. But Draymond's stuff is dirty but not dangerous typically, right? Even the choke of Gobert wasn't dangerous. The flailing his legs up aren't dangerous. But the two most dangerous things Draymond has done have happened in the last year. The stomp on Sabonis' chest and the spinning back fist into Nurk. Those are dangerous. But Ron had some of the most vicious elbows you've ever seen. Ron also famously, you know, kind of incited a riot. You know, ran into the stands. So, but Ron didn't have as much beef with the officials as Draymond does. So it's like a different.
Draymond's different types of crazy.
Right. Okay. Draymond's closer to Rodman in that regard. All right, let's move on.
All right, so Monday, Anthony Davis went off, carrying the Lakers to the win with that end-of-the-game block in double overtime. With Davis on the bench last night, LeBron had a triple-double. He got a dub. So they've had very healthy seasons from their star players. So would anything short of a finals appearance be a waste of a season? Time's ticking, LeBron.
So here's the thing. I don't think that you judge the Lakers as finals appearance or bust because they're not the best team and they don't have the best player. If you're the best team, Boston right now has claimed to be the best team. If they don't make the finals, it's a massive disappointment. The Nuggets have the best player. If they don't make the finals, it's a massive disappointment. You can say if you want, add Milwaukee to that list because Milwaukee has an argument that they have the best player and they made massive moves this offseason. If they don't make the finals, it's a massive disappointment. Everyone else is graded on a different scale, which is it depends on how it looks and how it goes. And so I thought last year was excellent. I thought the Lakers last year went as far as they could have gone. Maybe they could have gone one or two games against Denver further, but they weren't beating Denver last year. They just weren't. And you have now that further verified by their performance against Denver this year. So, no, I think LeBron and the Lakers, I think AD being healthy, I think LeBron having another phenomenal season as the oldest guy in the league. LeBron now has scored more points in year 21 than the rest of NBA history put together. I think all, and the Lakers are, if you were to say the Lakers are the second best team in the Western Conference, you could make that argument. You absolutely could. What they've been after the first 50 games, they're like 17-7. Is that right? 16-7, something like that. Regardless, like there is real argument to be made. This is a very good team having, you know, that after some fits and starts and dealing with some rotational injuries is getting better. I have now said this specific take on multiple platforms. I'm going to say it again here. And I'm curious what producer Daniel, I don't know if we can get producer Daniel, our resident Nuggets fan, his mic up or him on the air. I don't know if that's possible. I should have asked them beforehand. Daniel, can the audience hear you? Okay, yeah, I can hear you. Good. Here's my question. Okay, so the audience maybe can't hear you, Daniel, so don't worry about that. I should have prepped this earlier. So I'm just going to give my take on this, and we'll see how Daniel feels about it. Oh, the audience can hear you. All right, great. If I were to tell you the Lakers and Nuggets are guaranteed to play in the postseason, as a Nuggets fan, what round do you want that to happen in? The Lakers and Nuggets are definitely going to play, and let's just assume neither team suffers a significant injury. I understand that's not a fair assumption, but let's just, for the sake of this thought exercise, the Lakers and Nuggets are going to play. What round do you want it to happen?
Oh, the later the better, because if AD and or LeBron are tired at the end of the series, I'll take that versus round one where there's extra rest.
Okay, so that I think is the exact correct take. And so here is, thank you, Daniel. And I can hear you still. Here's why I bring that up. The Nuggets are better than the Lakers. And if the Nuggets were to play the Lakers in a series, they would be the heavy favorite. I said on Cowherd's pod, and then one of those absolutely worthless basketball aggregation Twitter accounts took 7 words I said on the pod, put it out there, and now it's just, it's one of those viral sensations that is a literal quote, but it's the same account, DeMonze, that when we were talking on this show about, when I said to you, exactly right. Yeah. When I said to you, guess the 3 teams I would like LeBron to go to. This is a little quick story in, you know, getting tricked on the internet. I said on this pod, and then we'll get back to the Lakers Nuggets thing, to DeMonze, there's 3 teams I want LeBron, I personally would like to see LeBron go to. And we said, like, the Cavs, we said the Sixers, and then I said, DeMonze, can you guess the next team? And DeMonze said, the Heat. And I said, quote, exactly. The Heat are absolutely the next team. And these worthless Twitter accounts tweeted out the quote, the Heat are the next team. Nick Wright on LeBron James, which is technically accurate and wildly misleading, right? Because I was saying the next team on my wish list, and they presented it as if I were reporting that LeBron's next team is going to be Miami. So this same account took the quote of me saying the Lakers should want Denver in round 1, contextless. And folks understandably are like, oh my God, this fool. Yeah, this guy. When my take on this to me is very logical and common sense. If we operate under the assumption that the Lakers, in order to make the finals, are going to have to beat the Nuggets, the round they have the best chance of beating them is round 1. The games are not every other day. You have more rest. And LeBron and AD will be the freshest they will be at any point in the postseason. So, the question is, if you're a Laker fan, would you rather, what is more valuable to you? A greater chance at a deep playoff run with a lower chance of making the finals, or a greater chance of being bounced in round 1 with a greater chance of making the finals? Because I think that if they play the Nuggets in round 1, they probably lose. But I also think the only round they would have a realistic chance of beating the Nuggets is round 1. And if you were to get past the Nuggets in round 1, all of a sudden, now you can start thinking big things. Because LeBron can't play 44 minutes every night, every other day, but he might be able to in round 1, where you have 2 days, sometimes 3 days between games. Round 2 and round 3, you're every other day. Furthermore, if the Nuggets don't play the Lakers in round 1, they're probably playing the Rockets or the Warriors or somebody that they will just wash out. And so, in that scenario, the Nuggets have swept a team, the Lakers are in a 7-game war, and then all of a sudden you got to face them. Like, none of those things should be attractive for the Lakers. Now, there's no real way to game it out because the Nuggets right now could be the 1, the 2, or the 3 seed. And so, in my opinion, the ideal realistic scenario for the Lakers is this. Move up 1 line in the standings to the 8 seed. Win play-in game number 1. Become the 7 seed. And then get have the Nuggets be the 2 seed. And take your chances. Now, that probably means the Lakers season is over after 5 games of round 1. But if the goal is give yourself the best chance to win a title, I don't think you have, I think your chance of beating the Nuggets in the conference finals is half of whatever your chance of beating them in round one is. All right, next.
All right, so San Francisco seems like they're ready to go all in on Brock Purdy. Yeah, so GM Jed York said, it's a good problem when your quarterback is one of the highest paid guys on your team and in the league. That statement might make a lot of sense for quarterbacks like Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes. Do you think that makes sense for Brock Purdy? Are they going down the wrong path?
Well, a couple things. And one clarification. Jed York is closer to team owner than GM. John Lynch is really the GM. I know it's listed as GM. I should have fixed that. Jed York is the CEO and basically the owner of the team saying this. It also should be noted, but per the CBA, they're not allowed to pay Purdy this year. So they have to wait another year. And Jed York can say whatever he wants. I guarantee you the Niners are not 100% certain they're paying Brock Purdy yet. There's not. And we'll see how this year goes. My guess is that after this year, they find a reason to wait another year and see. They've got him for the next 2 years at $1 million, and they can use the franchise tag. This guy's got no leverage, and deep down, when he's being honest, Kyle Shanahan knows what everyone knows. That the moment Brock Purdy were to go from $1 million to $50 million, and you have to pluck away a lot of those weapons and that roster, he is not going to be able to carry you. And I think Kyle Shanahan's a great coach and a brilliant offensive mind, and I said this about Tua and Mike McDaniel, and I will say it about Shanahan and Purdy. I grade McDaniel and Shanahan on a curve of look at what they're doing despite the limitations forced upon them at quarterback. If either one of those guys sign off on that quarterback becoming one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football, that curve goes away. Goes away entirely. And you are now, listen, you are judged as if you have a great quarterback because you paid him as if you were a great quarterback. Speaking of great quarterbacks, go ahead.
Yeah, that makes sense. An interesting debate ignited online yesterday. If a hypothetical draft allowed you to choose between Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, or Andrew Luck coming out of college, who would you pick? For those watching on YouTube or showing a tweet.
This is just based purely on their pro profile, right? Like, this is based on pedigree. If they were all fresh out of college in the same draft.
Right.
I would have it. Me personally, I would go Caleb, Trevor, Luck. In reality, it would go Luck, Caleb, Trevor. I think Trevor. For me personally. Yeah, that would be my personal, what I thought of them coming out of school, Caleb, then Trevor, then Luck. What the general consensus would have been, as far as like the what scouts would have told you, it's Luck, then Caleb, then Trevor. And this is the difference between pedigree, profile, how, what type of prospect you are and what type of pro you are. And I also think era kind of matters even within this small decade-long sample. Caleb is more valuable today than he would have been a decade ago because today teams are more open to the mobile
Patrick Mahomes type,
you know, quarterbacks style. Quarterbacks that can operate out of structure. But Luck was considered the best prospect since Elway, and Luck is still considered the best prospect since Elway. Trevor was considered the best prospect since Luck. Caleb is considered the best prospect since Luck, a better prospect than Trevor. All right, quick break, come back, talk a little Caitlin Clark, and then some NFL over-unders. Do that next. What's right? What's right? With Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp, restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor. All right, welcome back in episode 225. What's right with Nick Wright? Before we get to the NFL win totals, DeMonte, let's talk some Caitlin Clark. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Caitlin Clark is a bigger lock to go number one in the WNBA than Caleb is in the NFL. So the Indiana Fever.
Equal locks. That's incorrect. Equal locks, but go ahead.
Equal? They were just saying J.J. McCarthy might 100%. Go first over Caleb. I haven't heard any type of...
Nobody. Listen. Hold on. Who said that? Hold on. Pause. Who said J.J. McCarthy might go first over Caleb? Nobody said that. He might go second. No. Jim Harbaugh maybe said that he should, but the Bears drafting Caleb number one is minus 4,000, I think. But go ahead. Just keep going.
All right. So, Ice Cube seemed to confirm that he offered Caitlin Clark for his 3-on-3 basketball league $5 million to join the league over the summer. What would you do if you were in Caitlin Clark's shoes?
Okay. This is where I like Ice Cube a lot. Ice Cube's son, oddly, really doesn't like me. O'Shea Jackson Jr. Yeah, well, he's an actor. He was in that, heist movie? He was in an awesome movie. Den of Thieves. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He obviously was in Straight Outta Compton, but he was in Den of Thieves, which is a great movie. And I'm not trying to disrespect Ice Cube. Put me down as not believing this. Put me down as if the story is that Caitlin Clark has the opportunity to join the Big Three and get a guaranteed $5 million. If that is the story, I do not believe that to be accurate. I do not believe.
You think she should have taken it up? Or?
I don't think that. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I found it yesterday. So, I don't think that the Big Three has
$5 million to give.
No, I think they have $5 million, but I don't. I think it would. I think $5 million. Represents too large of a percentage of the Big Three's total value to make this story, the way it is being presented, accurate. Now, do I think it's in play that there is an offer for Caitlin Clark to play in the Big Three and get what is being purported as $5 million of value? Sure. Is it, you know, gets a percentage stake in the league, which if the league is valued at X and your percent is Y, that's worth $4 million plus we'll pay you $1 million cash? Yeah, maybe. But if what is being, if the story is Caitlin Clark can play one season of the Big Three and get a check that you can go to your local bank and cash for $5 million, she will obviously do that. And I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that this is really good publicity. I think it's interesting. We don't do a great job these days of following up on stories or asking to me the obvious questions of the finer details of stories. So I could be proven wrong here, but I don't believe this story as it's being reported. And you'd be like, reported, Ice Cube said it. I do not believe that Caitlin Clark has the option of getting $5 million in cash money to play in the Big Three. I don't think that's true. And so we'll see. We'll see if I'm right. Just go ahead and mark this down. My guess is the offer is substantially less cash and a lot of theoretical equity or something that on paper you can say has a $5 million value. Go ahead.
You kind of sound like a hater right now, but just kind of.
Why do I sound like a hater? Let's talk through. I'm being serious. Let me hear. Because I'm sure a lot of people agree with you.
$5 million, like there's no way Ice Cube could have offered her $5 million to come play over the summer. Maybe, I mean, she's Caitlin Clark. She's huge. It'd probably be the biggest star for the. I don't know who's been in Ice Cube's Big Three league, but probably be one of the bigger stars.
The biggest, huge draw. All of the above. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement. I haven't publicly said it, but I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement. I've got on the table, sitting out there, a $10 million offer for Patrick Mahomes to replace you, DeMonze, on the What's Right with Nick Wright podcast. Now, you might say, Nick, how do you have $10 million cash? Well, here's the way that offer is going to work, actually. I believe that this podcast would instantly be worth $50 million if Patrick were to sign up for it. So my offer is actually a 20% ownership stake, which at a $50 million valuation is worth $10 million for him to take your seat. Offers out there, $10 million. That, to me, is more likely the line we're taking rather than I've got a check ready. So we'll see. You can call me a hater. I call myself a realist with a slight dose of healthy skepticism, but we'll see. And I'm sure some intrepid journalists will follow up on this story consistently. So we'll just see. Let's go to NFL totals.
All right, we're doing gambling Goldilocks today. NFL win totals edition. We've got that's really cute. Where's
okay? Right. I didn't. I was looking right, down. So that's pretty good. Go
this,
ahead.
This is how it works. NFL win totals for 2024 dropped. So we're gonna dig in with gambling Goldilocks. So first off, we got the Bears at 8.5.
Yeah.
In 2023, they finished with a 7-10 record. Does Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams equal two more wins? Is 8.5 too high, too low, or just right for Chicago?
Too low. This is one of my favorite preliminary bets. The Bears are going to win at least 9 games. I mean, the Bears, listen, it's not just Keenan Allen. It's a full year of Montez Sweat. It's whoever they draft ninth overall, which could be the second best tackle, the third best receiver. Brock Bowers, an impact defensive player. It's Keenan Allen, it's DeAndre Swift, it's the different moves they've made. A massive upgrade at quarterback. They won 7 games last year. And so, yes, I love the Bears over. That is too low. Next.
So-called, that one. The Chargers have lost some key pieces, but should be rebounding. Plus, they have Jim Harbaugh coming in to turn things around. Is 8.5 too high, too low, or just right for the Chargers?
Just right. And listen, I think that this is going to be year one of a on-the-fly rebuild. They obviously, I don't think they're going to draft Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers at 5. I think they're going to trade out of that pick and acquire more picks. I think that is a prime spot for Minnesota to trade 11 and 23 to get that pick. So because of that, I don't see a quick turnaround for the Chargers. They'll be better than last year, but last year they won like 5-6 games. So I think 8.5 is just right. Next.
All right, the Bills gutted their team this offseason, but it seems the Vegas can't quit Josh Allen. Their win total did not budge from last year. Is 10.5 too high, too low, or just right for the Bills?
Just right. This is right. It's listen, fair. I would be very surprised if they won 9 games. I'd be very surprised if they won 13 games. 10, 11, 12 is right where they should land. And so if I had to bet on the Bills, I would actually go over. Because I think that Vegas has, we'll get to them in a moment, but overvalued the Jets. So I think that they probably have the Bills splitting with the Jets like they did last year. So I think this is just right. I think that the Bills are probably 11-6. So 10.5 is just right. Next.
All right. The Cowboys didn't have the best offseason either. But I guess they do get to play the Giants twice. Is 10.5 too high, too low, or just right for the Cowboys?
Too low. So Dallas gets 4 games against Washington and the Giants. Obviously, 2 games against the Eagles. So they should be 5-1 right there. They've got the let me get the rest of their 2024 schedule. Make sure I have it right. They get the NFC South, which is, in my opinion, the worst division in football. So you get Carolina, you get New Orleans, you get Tampa, you get Atlanta. They get the AFC North, which is brutal, obviously, and they have the first place schedule. But the Cowboys win 12 games every year, guys. The question for the Cowboys is not, are they, you know, going to be good in the regular season. The question is the postseason, so I think that's too low. Next.
No one knows what to do with the Jets, but now their quarterback, now that their quarterback won't be vice president, they actually have a decent roster on paper. Is 9.5 too high, too low, or just right for the Jets?
Too high. I mean, I don't understand the smoke surrounding the Jets. That people are like, they won 7 games last year with bad quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 41 years old, guys, this season. He's coming off an Achilles. They decided to replace their old injured offensive line with old injury-prone players. They have maybe the worst coach in football. Like that, they're not going to win 10 games. So that to me is absolutely unequivocally too high. Next.
Will it finally be the year that you quit the Jaguars? Dumb question. Should I just say too low and can we move on? Is 8.5 too high, too low, or just right for the Jags?
Unfortunately, it's probably just right. So here's the thing.
He's turned a new leaf.
I trust Trevor, but I hated their offseason. Obviously, the division got better in that it's year 2 of C.J. Stroud, and the Colts with Anthony Richardson coming back could be interesting. I don't love the Jags offensive coordinator. I don't love the GM. And so I want to believe in the Jags because of how much I believe in Trevor, but I don't love the roster. And so, fighting for one of those final playoff spots is probably how this is going to go for the Jags. It's unfortunate. It is squandering Trevor's rookie contract. It's unconscionable, some of the mismanagement they've had with this team. And last year it was, they were 8-3 and Trevor got hurt. And everyone wants to pretend like that didn't happen, but that is what happened. This was an 8-3 team, and their quarterback got hurt. But losing Ridley, spending money where they've spent it, I just don't think is smart. All right, so there is a quick look at the... We'll do the whole league post-draft for the over-unders. Take a quick break, come back. The Chiefs signed a rugby star. We'll do that and answer your questions. What's right? Welcome back in. What's Right with Nick Wright. All right, before we get to the listener questions, DeMonze, go ahead, talk to me about the Chiefs and the rugby guy.
Yo, so the Chiefs signed a rugby player to play running back / wide receiver. This is an outside-the-box move and definitely very Andy Reid-ish, I feel like. What do you think about this?
So a couple things. One is people got to understand this is a free roster spot. So there are different, because the NFL wants more international players, there's different rules if you sign an international player. Doesn't count on your 90-man roster, and if he's on the practice squad, does not count against a spot on the practice squad. So he only counts on your roster if he makes the actual game day 53-man active roster. I don't think it's to play running back wide receiver. I think it's to get a look at him with the new kick return rules.
The kick return, right.
I think that there's real intrigue there, and Andy get a free look at it. The other person that I think for the Chiefs could actually be really valuable in the return game is Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius Toney. Yeah.
Yes. They're not going to cut him because his contract's guaranteed. He's going to be moved down the wide receiver depth chart by the draft, by Hollywood Brown, all of that. But with the ball in his hands, he's dynamic. So yeah. I think it is an intriguing free look at a guy that I think is actually super sharp by them. And yeah. I like, all right, let's get to the listener questions.
Peter Deeb said, Nick, push the Luka MVP agenda. Mavs are very close to the 4 seed.
Well, I mean, if they were to get to the 4 seed, you could make the case. The fact of the matter is Joker's going to win the MVP. This has kind of been set in stone. I think Giannis has a legitimate case. I think Luka has a legitimate case. Joker, as the defending champ, when people thought he should have won last year, I'm fine with him winning it. But Luka being so far down the odds rankings to me is ludicrous, Tatum? But Joker's going to win it. Tatum does not have a legitimate case. Sorry. He's on the best team. Next.
So, Alex, whose idea was it to start doing the post-show interviews on First Things First? They're so great.
Our great social media producer, Lori, gets credit. Wilds will try to take the credit, but Lori gets all the credit for that. She does a great job with all that stuff. Next.
Rico M. asked, who do you think the Chiefs could get in the first round that would truly be an impact player?
I want Ladd McConkey, the slot receiver from Georgia. We've never had that type of player with Mahomes. He's the guy I want. I know a lot of people think Troy Franklin or Adonai Mitchell, the different wide receivers. I also, if one of the excellent tackles falls, that's what they should do, but I don't know if any of those great tackles are going to fall. Next.
Okay, Indy Axton, question for Nick. What are the chances that Jerry Jones tries to pull a Chiefs move by trading up for a quarterback in round one?
I think that's unlikely. I think that there's the quarterbacks are going to go so high that I don't think that's a likely move for Dallas. I don't think they're excited about moving off Dak. I just think they're open to the possibility of moving off him in a year. Sure. All right, and then... let's do Ryan Heffernan's, DeMonze.
Ryan Heffernan, if you don't answer a Royals question on opening day,
Well, listen, there haven't been any Royals questions. I mean, go Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. is the only, like, the Royals are not going to be really good. The question is, do we have a superstar? Hopefully we do, and hopefully we can build around him. Like, that's the reality of it. And I will, you know, my interest in Major League Baseball's regular season is directly correlated with if the Royals are good. When the Royals were good, I used to get MLB extra innings. I was watching regular season baseball all the time. When the Royals stink, I'll see you in October. So this is probably a I'll see you in October baseball season. And then Prime LeBron said there's a bunch of dorks behind the camera because we showed the control room. That's unfair. And there's a couple dorks behind the camera. And it's not everybody. It's not everybody. There's a couple dorks behind the camera. I'm not going to, you know, name names, but it's just a couple. That was unnecessary, Prime LeBron. All right. Great job, everyone. Great job, DeMonze. Oh, and Patrick Mahomes in for the show. See, just now I am going to take a shot at the producers. Yeah, guys, producers, just so you guys know, I understand you guys work very hard on these Photoshops. If I very clearly and intentionally skip over the question in the rundown that allows me to bring this up, it's probably because I saw it in preview and didn't think we should put it on the air. Just for the record, it's not like, oh, Nick missed it. Let's make sure. Listen, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I'm not mad at you for taking the shot. But if I say, all right, that's it for the show, let's move on. Don't just jump me with the graphic that I thought was, you know, maybe not quite camera ready. That's all. DeMonze, great job. Producers, great job. Listeners, great job. See you guys on TV today at 3. What's right? Hey, thanks for watching. If you're still here, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button, then hit the bell so you can be notified when we have new episodes. After you've done that, one more favor, go to your favorite audio platform of choice and subscribe there as well. Don't forget, we're live every Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern-ish, 10:35, 10:40, it sometimes changes, but that's why you hit the bell. You hit the bell so you're notified. You subscribe so we can get to 200,000 followers. We're right around 150,000. We'd love to get to 200,000, get DeMonze another plaque. So like, subscribe, rate, send a rating too. Do all that cool stuff. Thanks, guys.